This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. Welcome to the Thursday, December 14th, 2017 edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour. Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart.
I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got a temperature of 26 this hour. The wind chill index is 18. The full forecast is coming up.
And the Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park, also sponsored by the Majestic Star Casino. Markets have taken a bit of a dip in the last half hour or so. Let's get the latest on the numbers from Elisa Parenti at Bloomberg.
Rob and Chris, at least one analyst says that might be the result of Speaker Paul Ryan announcing, or at least Politico reporting, that Ryan may not run for re-election, that he may be stepping down from his post, retiring. If that's the case, at any rate, Politico's reporting that. We did see kind of a dip now. The Dow is falling 10 points, NASDAQ up 6, S&P down 2. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is down 0.33%. Certainly not like we saw a big run higher and then a substantial move. We've been hugging the flat line here for most of the day, but we do remain at close to record high levels. We did get another positive sign of economic growth today. Retail sales rose more than expected in November. The figures show consumers were spending more as the holiday shopping season began. Also positive, the Fed yesterday saying the labor market is getting tighter, but inflation is not accelerating, so monetary policy in 2018 will likely mirror this year's gradual interest rate hikes. First-time claims for jobless benefits down unexpectedly by 11,000 to a total 225,000. And of course, the deal everyone's talking about, Disney's getting even bigger, buying 21st Century Fox's movie and TV studios for more than $52 billion. The price tag is seen as a $4 billion victory for Rupert Murdoch. Back to you, Rob and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we're going to be talking with economist Diane Swank about the Fed's moves this week and also tax reform. And T-Mobile is planning to launch a TV service.
The FCC is meeting right now. They are expected to repeal two-year-old rules regarding net neutrality. We'll talk about what that means for you. And then we'll talk about the Bitcoin bubble and what would happen to the financial markets if that bubble were to burst. All that and more.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
We're going to be discussing today's game-changing moves in the media space in our next segment. Right now, though, let's talk about the economy. It's a big day for data, a big week for economic developments. We are talking with Diane Swank, economist and founder at DS Economics here in Chicago, dianeswank.com. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Diane. Let's talk first about yesterday's Fed announcements. What's your outtake from that?
Well, we certainly saw the divisions that are forming within the Fed. Not only did we raise rates, we saw two dissents to that vote to raise rates, and that was from our own Charlie Evans here in the Chicago area and the Minneapolis Fed President Neil Kashkari. And the reason they dissented, and it's important to remember, when someone votes to dissent, not everyone gets to vote at every meeting. They're often representing other people who are at the meeting, and there is this growing view within the Fed of minority, but large minority, that are worried that they shouldn't be raising rates further when inflation and wages have yet to really pick up. They're really concerned about that. The flip side, of course, the counter argument to that is the people who are concerned about asset price bubbles and how credit conditions have actually eased since the Fed has raised rates five times under Yellen's tenure.
So where do you take, what's your take on this then?
Well, they're still looking for three rate hikes next year. I think the economy is going to be strong enough to get at least three rate hikes next year, so I think we are going to get that. You'll get a bit of a hesitation, though, in the beginning of the year as Chair Powell takes over. Oftentimes, people just expect, you know, the first meeting out, the new chair wants to raise rates or make an action. I don't think that's necessarily true anymore. I think that's an outdated view, especially since we went for so long having no rate increases. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see a bit of a hesitation until June and then have the three rate hikes backed into the second half of the year.
Looking at the economic updates today, the data that is coming in, we're always looking for wage growth in the economy. Do we see that?
We've not seen a lot of wage growth, and that's really still been pretty stagnant. But what we are seeing is we're still getting spending power, even though we're not seeing a lot of wage acceleration. And I think, you know, the retail sales today were simply stunning. Not only did they out, they were more than double market expectations, but they revised up the data for October, which was more in line with our expectations. But we really saw that strength. But again, very high end, the lower end, which is the lower wage jobs that are not really getting bid up yet, that still is showing up in even the composition of retail sales. Department stores did okay, but the big box discounters didn't. At the high end, iPhone sales moved the needle on electronic store sales. Anytime iPhone offers a new product, which was the iPhone X, of course, this month, not trying to advertise for them, but they're the only major player out there that you'll see really wealthy consumers go out and get the new toys, and that is showing up. Luxury retailers doing very well right now. A lot of spending on housing-related stuff. Some of that's repairs and replacements still from those storms and fires that we've had, but I think it's important to note that there really is a movement of people going out to eat and discretionary spending. This was a really good month. So there, even though the spending was a little more concentrated than I'd like in the high end, it still was there.
Great stuff as always. Thank you, Diane Swank, economist and founder of DS Economics at dianeswank.com, based here in Chicago. Coming up, the mouse takes a chunk of Fox, and cellular company T-Mobile wants to be your TV provider. We'll talk about that.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, the shape-shifting media industry is shifting shape once again. Let's talk about big moves by T-Mobile and Disney with Tim Hanlon, the managing director of the Vertair Group here in Chicago. Tim, welcome back to the program. You could devote an entire hour to who gets what in the Disney 21st Century Fox deal that was announced today for $52 billion. What are we going to notice as consumers as this deal lurches towards reality?
An hour. I'm ready to go to midnight. Plenty of stuff here to unpack.
I mean,
you
could talk about The Simpsons. You could talk about regional sports networks. You could talk about streaming. I mean, there's so many angles here.
You got it. So let's think about it domestically to start, right? So there's a lot of international components to it, too. But for the domestic audience in Chicago, of course, a couple of things. One certainly is ESPN. ESPN obviously has been a challenge for Disney over the last number of years, as people have cut the cord for their cable subscriptions, and sports rights have gotten increasingly out of control. One of the key elements of this deal is what they call regional sports networks, the Fox company owns quite a few of, but not necessarily here in Chicago, but a lot of other areas around the country. The idea of being able to tie ESPN's impressive portfolio of national sports programming and the regional presentation of those games and leagues is a very, very crown jewel in this. A second one is Hulu. Hulu, as you may know or remember, is jointly owned by a lot of different media companies. And by this deal, Disney will actually now control the ownership, not a majority ownership now, of Hulu, and use that as a big component of how they build out what they have signaled to the marketplace is their own direct-to-consumer streaming offerings a la Netflix. And last but not least, and there are clearly some other things here, but this week is really interesting because the new Star Wars movie launches, and this is actually sort of a hidden jewel here, is the unification of the ownership completely of the Star Wars franchise. Yes, Disney bought Lucasfilms and all of that, but the distribution rights for the Star Wars films are still under the Fox Studios ownership. This will actually combine those things and make them all completely owned and controlled by Disney.
And talking about just some of the intellectual property, you mentioned how Star Wars will be changing hands. This also means that The Simpsons will one day become part of the Disney universe. So does this mean we will actually, truly one day see an Itchy and Scratchy Land theme park?
That's to the delight of my 11-year-old daughter, who is fascinated with The Simpsons and watches those shows endlessly. You also probably remember, too, or maybe not, there is an episode where actually The Simpsons presaged this acquisition that Fox would be ultimately owned by Disney Company. So there's something going on there that synergistically might have been in the works for a long time earlier.
Well, with the latest media news a bit today, T-Mobile is launching a TV service next year. Tell us about that.
something completely different, Chris, yet actually related in the grand scheme of things, right? So T-Mobile, obviously one of the big wireless firms in the U.S., and a fledgling challenger cable network, cable operator, called Layer 3, which is available in Chicago, of course, in Los Angeles, a couple other markets. This is a bold, and will be more defined in the months to come when they announce details, move to conjoin a challenger and a feisty challenger in the mobile wireless space with an outlier from the cable television world to perhaps create a more unbundled and more wireless-friendly delivery distribution environment for television and video.
Well, thanks for explaining all of these things to us, because they're coming real fast these days. Tim Hanlon is managing director at the Vetter Group here in Chicago. Coming up, what's moving Wall Street? And on Technology Thursday, a vote that will change the future of the internet. WBBM News Time, 12:25. It's time now to take a look at business news. Here's Elisa Peretti.
Well, Chris, we have taken a dip here. The Dow is now down 9 points, 24,576. NASDAQ is losing 4 points, S&P down 3. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is falling 0.33%. UPS and FedEx are emphasizing some new strategies to try to ease the burden of rising e-commerce deliveries. The National Retail Federation is predicting online sales will rise by as much as 15% this holiday. One big move: couriers are expanding neighborhood locations where customers can pick up boxes or drop off returns in lieu of the usual front porch option. We've got crude oil futures taking back some of what was lost yesterday, up 0.5% to $56.90 a barrel. And we've also got a check of the grain markets with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
Narrow range, 2.25 cents down 1 to up 1.25 at the moment. We're down 0.25 in March at 3.48 3/4. July down 0.25 at 3.65 1/4. Beans have been down all day on fund selling, getting out of their longs. January down 11.5 at 9.67 3/4. July down 11.25, 9.99 3/4. And wheat's been down 3 to up 1 at up 3 at the moment. Wheat for March up 2.5 at 4.19 1/4. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. I'm Elisa Parenti with Business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
I'm Chris Kreidel, and these are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Well, markets are mixed today. We'll talk about what's moving Wall Street.
Just minutes ago, the FCC voted to undo net neutrality rules. We'll talk about that coming up on the Noon Business Hour and find out what that means. Coming up next on From CBS News.
A look at the flip side of the Bitcoin boom and how a bust would affect the markets.
The suggestion that the United Nations possibly send in peacekeepers to Chicago.
And test results fail to meet new lower limits for lead in the water in two school districts.
Wall Street, the Dow down 3.5 points, the NASDAQ off 1, S&P 500 down by 2.
Lake effect snow in northwest Indiana ending. Cloudy and cold today. It's 12:31.
CBS News special report. The FCC hearing on net neutrality has been going on in D.C. Now, along party lines, those rules guaranteeing equal access to the internet have been rolled back by a 3-2 vote. Commissioner Michael O'Reilly.
For those of you out there that are fearful of what tomorrow may bring, please take a deep breath. This decision will not break the internet.
But another commissioner, Mignon Clyburn, declared.
I dissent because I am among the millions outraged. Outraged because the FCC pulls its own teeth, abdicating responsibility to protect the nation's broadband consumers.
CBS tech expert Larry Magid, now that these Obama-era rules have been set aside, what's next?
Network neutrality affects those who are offering content or services over the internet. And without it, internet service providers would be able to discriminate against those services that aren't business partners or subsidiaries if they so choose.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Dave Barrett.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park, also sponsored by Baker Square.
News that makes you money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
This portion of the Noon Business Hour is sponsored by Berman Auto Group. Joining us to talk about what's moving Wall Street, and Wall Street's pretty flat today. Jack Ablin is Chief Investment Officer with BMO Private Bank here in Chicago. There's certainly a lot to react to, Jack, the tax reform issue, the net neutrality, and Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot going on, but it certainly doesn't appear to be reflected in today's market. It seems like tax reform is ready to get passed and ready to sign into law. In fact, Mike Pence, who had a Middle East trip scheduled, decided to postpone, hang back in Washington just in case Republicans need his vote to kind of push that over the edge. The net neutrality certainly making some news. I think it still remains to be seen how that's going to affect investment. But I clearly will impact viewers, certainly.
The markets continue to climb higher, Jack. Does that worry you at all?
Yeah, I mean, it worries me to some degree. But keep in mind, Chris, that the underpinnings of the economy are expanding at the same time. In fact, you know, most countries this last year have actually shown economic growth. So we appear to be in this synchronized global recovery, fueled in large part by, you know, coordinated monetary policy. And now with this tax package set to be signed into law, we're going to get a little fiscal boost on top of that. So I do think that there are fundamental reasons why equities are advancing. You know, you could certainly look pretty closely and realize that even respect to earnings and revenues, that equities are expensive. But at least the flow continues to be positive underneath the market.
There was some talk earlier this hour when markets moved into negative territory just after 11:30 that the investors could be reacting to the political story that said House Speaker Paul Ryan could be retiring after next year's midterm elections. Are you buying that analysis?
Well, I certainly understand, I guess, the reaction, although it was, pretty, you know, short-lived, I think for two reasons. One, his camp came out and denied it. And secondly, I think that investors on further inspection realized that, you know, legislation's going to move forward with or without Speaker Ryan, and I'm not sure he's necessarily really moving the needle one way or another.
And then as the FCC just voted along party lines to rescind the net neutrality rules that were put in place in 2015, with net neutrality becoming a thing of the past, how would you look at the various telecom companies going forward? What would you expect for them?
Well, it seems like they may benefit from this, Rob. They're going to now be the gatekeepers. They're the ones that ultimately decide who gets through faster, who doesn't. And, you know, that could ultimately end up in a sort of a pay-to-play environment, which up till now hasn't been allowed. Now, previously, I will say there was a little of that going on where perhaps Internet providers said that, you know, there's a maximum cap on how much data you could download, and then would offer certain websites and certain providers that maybe didn't count toward that cap. So that had been going on prior to this, but this really changes the rules. And now, you know, like I said, almost makes these telecom companies kind of toll keepers in deciding what gets through and what doesn't. And, you know, for the most part, if you have a lot of competition and you decide, you know, the services that you want aren't coming through fast enough on your provider, you can, I suppose, switch providers. But, you know, if you're in an area where there isn't much competition, that could be problematic.
Jack, we can't let you go until we get your take on Bitcoin.
yeah, Bitcoin. You know, I've been having quite many conversations with clients about it. I would divide Bitcoin into really two pieces. One is the asset, or, you know, they call it a currency, but it seems a little too volatile to be a currency. The electronic asset, Bitcoin, but then also the fundamental underpinnings of Bitcoin, which is the blockchain distributed ledger technology. And that, I think, is pretty solid and has a promising future. Part of the reason why I think Bitcoin's as successful as it is because of this very solid foundation on which it's built, this distributed ledger. And I think there are many applications for that. So And while we're hearing about hacks, people losing their bitcoins or some certain exchanges getting hacked, we're not hearing about counterfeited bitcoins. We're not hearing about anything impacted this blockchain technology. So I'm watching that and looking for more applications on the blockchain. Bitcoin right now, makes previous bubbles look like they're standing still.
Thanks a lot, Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at BMO Private Bank, based in Chicago. Coming up on Technology Thursday, the FCC has just unraveled net neutrality rules. We'll talk about what that means for you.
A wealth of information for managing your money. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Technology Thursday, sponsored by Baird, and the day's big tech story is the decision made this hour by the Federal Communications Commission to repeal Obama-era net neutrality rules. Let's look at what this means and how it would affect business and consumers with Scott Moritz, Bloomberg Wireless reporter based in New York. Scott, welcome back to the program. The vote along party lines by the FCC just a couple of minutes ago eliminates the net neutrality rules, but is the next stop a courtroom?
Well, generally that is the case, but today it's Merry Christmas to Comcast and AT&T. I don't think this was a huge surprise, but it's certainly a big holiday gift for the internet service providers.
You talked to some analysts about what this is going to mean. There's some concern about throttling, that if you did not pay a certain amount for internet service, you couldn't access certain websites. You would get slower speeds via broadband services. There seems to be a lot of competing interests here that would all have to kind of work together and agree to pay each other's price. In the end, would the big internet service providers decide that maybe net neutrality isn't profitable, but it has fewer headaches?
Well, it's hard. The question is really, as you point out, what are they going to do with this new freedom? I'm sure they have teams already in place looking at ways that they can capitalize on these lack of rules. One of the hardest things along this path has been, how do you enforce this fairness of traffic over the internet? The concern among many is that the big ISPs, the internet service providers, will charge to have speeds from, say, a Netflix or even a smaller video provider slowed down or sped up according to how much they pay.
So unless the Congress acts before the next Democratic administration is sworn in, a Democratic FCC could vote to reverse everything and go back to the Obama rules. Is that possible?
We have seen this issue swing in a big way in just the last couple of years. The Obama administration, of course, put kind of onerous rules on the internet service providers, and with the Trump administration, those, as of today, are now being rolled back. It wouldn't surprise me if this takes another turn, either through the courts, as you pointed out, or through another Congress, which would have some rules that might fall in between at this point.
Scott, thanks so much for joining us today. Scott Moritz is Bloomberg Wireless reporter in New York. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. Still to come, collateral damage if the Bitcoin boom goes bust.
Buy, sell, listen. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
We are hearing a lot about Bitcoin now at $16,900, but does it have legs? Let's check in with Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for The Wall Street Journal, Barron's, USA Today, and MarketWatch.com, based in Washington, D.C. What are you picking up about this, Mark?
Well, if we look at Bitcoin in particular, I would think we probably are in a bubble, and that's no comment on Bitcoin in particular. It's just that any asset that has as big of a run-up as Bitcoin has enjoyed almost certainly enjoys a big drop. There were a couple of professors at Harvard that I reviewed their research where they looked at all assets that had run-ups that were even smaller than Bitcoin's, and if it got to a big enough run-up, it was almost 100% guaranteed that within the next several months after that run-up, there would be a huge drop. Now, that run-up that they used as a prerequisite for a virtual guarantee of a crash was a lot less than what Bitcoin has had. So Bitcoin might be the first asset in the history of the at least whatever history the Harvard professors looked at that is able to be the exception that proves the rule, but I would say that's not worth betting on.
What about the underlying stuff that makes it run? That seems to be, you know, not such a bad thing. Bitcoin maybe, but people are saying the underlying technology is solid.
Well, I think there is something to that. A number of the newsletters that I monitor are recommending what they call ancillary Bitcoin trades. And by what they mean by that is simply that you can invest in the companies that are supporting and trying to develop new generations of that technology, because they think it'll have many, many other uses. So I think one can be quite bullish on that technology in particular, or in general, without being bullish on Bitcoin in particular.
This Bitcoin bubble is, no pun intended, the standard by which all bubbles will be measured from now until the end of time. It's really impressive. So what happens when it pops or deflates? What's the collateral damage there?
Well, it's a good question, and a lot of people are worried about that now that, you can trade futures. A number of futures exchanges now allow you to buy Bitcoin futures, which in a way expands the risk pool because it involves a lot more money and a lot wider, perhaps, potential impact on the market. Having said that, I think that Bitcoin's in a bubble. I guess I'm not that worried about the collateral damage, at least now, and the reason is that even though Bitcoin has run up, its total market cap, which is to say you add, you know, multiply all Bitcoin and related cryptocurrencies by their price and know what's the total worth of all of them, it's still a drop in the bucket relative to the size of the financial market. So it's not that I'm not worried about Bitcoin. I think if you're worried about collateral damage in the market, there are plenty of other things to worry about. I'll just name one. And that is, if you look at the amount of margin debt, which is what people on Wall Street have borrowed in order to buy more stock, the total amount of margin debt right now, I think last time I looked, it was about double the size of all cryptocurrencies in the world. So if you want to worry about margin and the collateral damage, why don't we worry about that margin debt rather than focus on what might happen if Bitcoin collapses?
Thanks a lot, Mark Hulbert, investment columnist with the Wall Street Journal, Barron's USA Today, and MarketWatch.com. Based in Washington, you'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at cbschicago.com/audio and the all-new radio.com app.
WDBM News Time, 12:55. Let's take a look at the markets now, powered by ComEd's Energy Efficiency Program. And here is Lisa Parenti.
Well, Chris, we are headed lower now. The Dow is down 18 points. 24,569 is the level. NASDAQ lower by 6. S&P down 4. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is giving back about 0.5%. Crude oil futures are headed higher after yesterday's losses. Right now up 0.5% and closing in on $57 a barrel. DVDs are beginning the long fade to black, streaming at the top of the video industry right now. Redbox is starting the migration away from its DVD rental kiosks to a streaming service. It's launched a video on demand service with movie rentals that start at $3.99 and purchases starting at $10. Customers get the videos from Redbox apps or TV connected devices. Disney films are not part of the service as the two companies sue each other over the sales of movie download codes. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM. And HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.